All right, take your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 16. Those of you that do not know, Mark Jones wrote that song. That's his testimony. Every time I hear it, I go crazy. Amen. All right. Look, please, at your Bible, chapter 16 of John, verse 33. I'm going to be honest with you. I've got about an hour and a half's worth of sermon here. And I've been really struggling all morning with how much to say and what to say and where to say it. This started... Tuesday morning, I think it was Tuesday morning when I started thinking about this. And by the time I got done with it, I got about an hour and a half's worth of sermon. So I don't know where we're going to go this morning, to be honest with you. But I want to speak to you from this 33rd verse, and I want to call the message the value of tribulation. The value of tribulation. You know, nobody likes tribulation. Nobody. When you think about it, we avoid tribulation with every ounce of strength we've got. We just do not like tribulation of any kind. Well, I want you to look at this 33rd verse. The Lord Jesus is speaking to the disciples here, and he says, "These things have I spoken unto you." Now, these things begin in chapter 14, verse 1. So chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, this is where the Lord is with his disciples. They're in the upper room. They then leave the upper room and walk over across to the Garden of Gethsemane. If you look at chapter 17, you'll see the Lord in the garden praying. With Peter, James, and John, so we have in chapter 16, verse 33, him speaking of these things that I have spoken unto you. So there's all these great little things in chapter 14, 15, and 16 is what he is referring to. All right, now read on. It says that ye. That in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now I want to speak to you this morning on the value of tribulation, if I ever get there. That's what I want to speak to you about. All right, let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful that we have a Bible. Lord, we're thankful that we have the eternal Word of God that can give us strength and courage, that can give us resolve and determination. Lord, we're thankful that we have the promises of God. And Lord, I pray that you will help us this morning. We live in a world today where the devil knoweth that he hath but a short time. And there is tribulation that is facing us from all directions. Lord, we are not getting any younger. We are oppressed from the world. We are oppressed from the devil, who knows he has but a short time. Lord, there's just tribulation, it seems, at every hand. And yet we have a verse here that tells us that we should not be surprised by this. But yet, Lord, we're surprised by it. And so I pray that you will help us this morning to understand the value of tribulation. There's a purpose. There's a reason that we have to go through, some of the things we have to go through. And Lord, I pray that you will bless and give us strength and give understanding to our hearts. And Lord, help me this morning. You know I have a lot to say, and I need to kind of whittle it down a little bit so that I can say what I need to say in order to make the point. So, Father, I pray you'll help me today. And Lord, bless our people. There are so many sitting right here this morning who are in the midst of some terrible storms in their lives. And Lord, I pray that you will help us this morning to get a little glimpse, get a little understanding of what we're facing and how we're to face it. And Lord, to realize the value in what we're facing. So help us, Father, I pray that the Lord will be exalted and that Christians will draw closer to the Lord this morning as a result of what we hear. And Father, touch our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of tribulation. I looked up the word tribulation in the dictionary, and it's really an interesting word. It comes from a root that means to flail or to thrash about. To flail or to thrash about. And I suppose that, you know, if you think about it, that's usually our reaction to tribulation, is it not? When I read that, I had to giggle a little bit because my mind just instantly went back to when we lived down in West Virginia, in Dixie, West Virginia. And I went out to mow the grass one day, and you know, they had clothesline out there, you know, the T, and then the lines running across it, and then there was another bar down here with another T on it. And for some reason or another, they didn't put any caps over the ends of those little bars, you know. And I was mowing along, and I hit that thing with the lawnmower. And the wasps had built, I think, an entire colony inside that one bar. And I hit that thing with the lawnmower, and the wasps came flying out of both ends. And yeah, you know the rest of the story. But anyway, you talk about flailing and thrashing around. Now, I was, if somebody had looked out the window and seen me right there, they would have thought for sure that I had lost all of my marbles. But that's what crossed my mind when I checked on the word in the English dictionary for tribulation. And so basically, the Lord Jesus is telling us, in the world, you're going to have some situations that will cause you to flail a little bit. You're going to have some thrashings as you go through life. You're going to have some things that are going to cause you a little discomfort and a little problem. But be of good cheer. The Lord says, "I have had mine, and I will give you grace so that you can handle yours." Now, wouldn't it be nice if we never had to deal with any tribulation? You know, that would really be good. And I think there are a lot of folks that are unsaved, and as they go through life, the wages of sin begins to catch up with them. And you know, the tribulation that life brings and the tribulation that sin brings, it just seems to mount up around them, and they start looking for, you know, something to give them some help and some stability and to enable them to make it another day. And I think a lot of folks think that church or religion is going to be their panacea. You know, if I can just get me a little religion here, maybe all my problems will go away. Well, you know, it'd be nice if that's the way it worked, but that's not the way it works. You know, everybody goes through tribulation, and God's people are certainly not exempt from tribulation. As a matter of fact, from what I can read in the Bible, tribulation is a part of the Christian life. You say, "Well, Pastor, where do you get that?" I get that from Philippians chapter 1:29. Because in that verse of Scripture, Paul said, "For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. Wow. It is given unto us to suffer for his name's sake. You know, I've met some people through the years that I'll know when I get to heaven for sure, but I'm pretty sure right now that from everything I can see about their lives, they seem to have what the Apostle Paul refers to as a ministry of suffering. A ministry of suffering. And, you know, I'm not sure all of us could handle a ministry of suffering. There are some folks that don't handle suffering very well. And believe me, God knows who we are. But we don't handle adversity well. We don't handle suffering well. But Paul said, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. Now, I'm not sure that I understand why it is necessary that we have to suffer. But whether I understand the value of it or not, what I do understand is that God says that, God tells me that tribulation is given. It is a part of the program. It is a part of the contract to have a certain amount of suffering. But now the question that we naturally would ask is, why? Why do I need tribulation in my life? And so that just started me to think. And that's a dangerous thing sometimes, but it started me to think, well, maybe I need it because it mellows me. Maybe I need it because it ripens me. Maybe I need it because it broadens my experience and brings me to the place where I need, and I realize that I need to depend upon the Lord more fully. Folks, no matter how you slice it, the Bible is very clear that God wants us to trust him. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So in Philippians 3:10, Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. In Hebrews 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. So it kind of gives me the indication that when tribulation comes my way, that I also am a son. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God through adoption, but I'm a son. And that God may allow tribulation to come, suffering to come into my life, so that I too will learn obedience to the things of God. Now, I think our biggest problem in this area of tribulation is that we sit and look at tribulation solely from our perspective. And we don't stop and realize that tribulation, according to the Bible here, is given to us. Instead of looking at it just through my eyes and sitting here and feeling sorry for myself because I have to go through something, what we need to realize is that tribulation is given to us, and so that ought to drive us to the one who has given it to us and say, okay, Lord, show me now why you have allowed this in my life. Not so we get anything out of it, but that God gets the glory out of it. For if it's given, it has to be given for a reason. You see, in God's view, tribulation is a necessary part of life. Now, it's true. I mean, we all do this. We all shrink from suffering. Nobody likes to bear the cross. This is why the Lord had to say to the Apostle Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Boy, those were harsh words, were they not? I bet you Peter's jaw dropped like that when the Lord said that to him. Get thee behind me, Satan. But why did Jesus say that to him? Jesus said that to him because when the Lord was speaking of the cross and of the death that he would have to suffer on that cross, the Apostle Peter spoke up and protested vehemently and said, "Oh no, Lord, be it far from thee." And the Lord turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, you say, well, what's the point? The point is, folks, that even the Son of God had to endure tribulation when he was on this earth. So what makes us think that if Jesus had to endure tribulation, what makes us think that we wouldn't have to go through a little trial every now and then? Well, we do. It's just a part of life. Now, folks, let me say that while I do not know why some of us have more tribulation than others of us have, I do know that we all have to go through tribulation. Why is it that some folks just seem to have more tribulation than everybody else? Well, could it be that some folks are a little more hard-headed than others? You ever think of that? I mean, it just may be that some folks are a little bit more stubborn than some of the rest of us. Or maybe, here's another thing to think about, maybe there are some of us that can handle a little more pressure than some of the others. Maybe that's part of it. I really don't know the answer to all these questions. But I do know that some folks go through life with little tribulation, and others, it just seems like tribulation is hanging over their head and it follows them at every step of the way. All right, now, I'm not to the message yet, so hang on. I may not ever get to the message. Turn back to Isaiah 28. We just learned some things along the way. Isaiah 28. Back a few months ago when I was studying for our Wednesday night Bible studies on all the prophets of the Old Testament, I read these verses and I made a mental note of them. And I thought, boy, that's good. I got to use that sometime. Well, here's the day I'm going to use it. All right. Look, please, at verse 23. He says, "Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him." Now listen very carefully to these next couple of verses. "For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cart wheel turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with the horseman. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." Now look at that last verse. "This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." Folks, you know it's hard for us to understand that God knows what's best for us. All right, now think about this, folks. Here is Isaiah talking about three different kinds of grain. Three different kinds of grain. One is designed by God. Did you get that? It is designed by God so that all you have to do is take a stick and hit it, and it will knock the chaff off of the seed so that you can use the seed. Then there is a second kind that is mentioned here, and it holds on with a little more tenacity than the first one. You can take a stick and hit it, it's not going to knock the chaff off. You can't get to the corn, you can't get to the seed, you can't get the hull off of it with just a stick. You got to take a club and hit it. All right. There's one seed. You got a pile here, a pile here, and a pile here. And you can take this one. It's a little tiny seed. It's not hard. You can take this one and take a stick, lay it on the counter, and boom, 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 and you can separate the corn from the husk. All right. Then you got one over here. You take that same stick that you beat this one with and you hit this one. You stand there all day and you're not going to crack it. You can stand there all day and hit it and it's not going to work. So you got to get a bigger stick and then you beat it and it'll break apart. You can separate the husk, the hull, the chaff, and you can get the seed. But then there is a third one, and it's so hard, that stick is not going to work. You got to take that one and lay it down and run a big heavy wheel over it to get it to crack. You see the point? But the operative thing here is verse 29. The Lord also, or this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts. Folks, the point is, God's made us that way. You know, there are some of us that, you know, think about your kids growing up. Think about you. I don't know about how it was in your family. You may had to beat the stuffing out of all of them. I don't know. But with my kids, all I had to do was just give a look. You know, I mean, all I had to do was just give them the look. And when I gave them the look, they straightened up. Oh, except for him. He took the cartwheel. You had to run over him with the cartwheel to get his attention. But that little switch over here, that was all you needed for Leanne. That's all you needed was just that little stitch. You needed the rod for Lauren. And you needed the cartwheel for Joshua. And that bulldog we had, that, you remember that English bulldog we had? Nothing worked on that, so it wasn't any good at all. But that's, the point is that we're all different. We all are different. If tribulation is from the Lord, and it is, and there are some folks that have more tribulation than others. Why is that? Could it be that there are some folks that their hide's just a little tough? I don't know. I think it's strange that the chaff or the husk, the very thing that at one time was its life and protection, now becomes a hindrance to its use, and it must be flailed, beaten, bruised and broken off. And I think in like manner, God has to wean us and thrash us loose from the comforts and consolations that we learn to trust in so that we will learn to trust in the Lord. Amen. Now, that's my introduction. And I want us to look very quickly now at three areas in where we sometimes see ourselves thrashed by tribulation. Three areas where we sometimes see ourselves thrashed by tribulation. First, some of us are thrashed when we fail to get the truth. When we fail to get the truth, where do we hear truth? Right here. This book is truth. Now, turn over to Matthew 13 for just a minute. You remember this passage of Scripture. This is the parable of the sower. And look please at verse 20. The Lord gives the parable in verse 1 through verse 9, and then he speaks a little bit, and then he interprets the parable in verse 18 down to verse 23. So let's look at his interpretation. And you look at verse 20, it says, "But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when," what's the next word? "For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." You know, we hear the truth. We hear the word of God. And when we hear the word of God, we are then responsible for what we have heard. You know, I'm not sure a whole lot of people realize that. But do you realize that, Christian? When you come to church, and I'm not trying to dissuade you from coming. I want you to come. But I do think that it is incumbent upon us to understand that when we hear the word of God, we are that at that moment responsible to obey what we've heard. That's sobering, isn't it? And when we don't obey what we've heard, and we rebel against that, it just may be that there's going to be some tribulation come. You say, "Well, why would God do that?" To reveal what's in our hearts. That's what happened. I think that's what this is all about in this one. "He that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it." The guy heard, he received, but he didn't do anything with it. It didn't lodge in his heart. And I think that tribulation came as for the purpose of revealing to him what God knew really was in his heart. You know, we're so quick to spot when somebody else is going through tribulation and to point a finger and say, "Well, I wonder what they've been doing." You know? "Oh, I wonder what they've been doing." Why don't we look at ourselves and look at the tribulation we're going through and saying, "Lord, what have you taught me that I'm not listening to?" We're so quick to turn it around on somebody else and say, "Oh boy, look at what they're going through. Man, they must not be right with God." Why don't we look at ourselves, folks? I mean, just look down deep into our own hearts. I can't see the heart, but God can see our hearts. And I tell you, folks, when tribulation comes our way, and by the way, you say, "Well, I don't have any tribulation." Hang on, would you please? It's coming. It won't be long, trust me. And trust the Lord through it. There's a second group of people who I want to call to your attention. Flip over to Romans 12 for just a minute. I'm just going to highlight these for you. Look at Romans chapter 12. Paul is here giving some admonition about living for the Lord. Look at verse 10. He says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope." Boy, that's something we ought to think about. What's your hope, folks? What is our hope? Our hope is the Lord's coming back. That's the blessed hope of the church. Rejoicing in hope. Look at this next part. Patient in tribulation. You know, a second group of people that the Bible speaks about concerning tribulation are those who are patient in tribulation. These are Christians he is speaking of here. These are good soil people. And I like that guy in Matthew 13 we read about a moment ago, where the seed landed on stony soil and did not take root. I mean, when tribulation came on his life, the whole idea was to reveal to him what was really in his heart. This is speaking of believers. These are good soil people where the seed is taking root and it's producing in their lives. And we are told that these folks are patient in the midst of their flailings and troubles. Remember Paul speaking in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit? There is a fruit of the Spirit that is called gentleness. You ever study that one out? You ought to. It's really fascinating. How few people have this characteristic well developed in their lives. The truth is, there are very few who can bear contradictions and reproaches in their lives. There are very few people that can face tribulation in their lives and deal with it patiently. When some tribulation arises, instead of gentleness, we get filled with resentment, or we get filled with anger, or we get filled with self-pity, and we feel that we have to hurl sarcasm as fast as we can get the words to fly out. Listen, folks, gentleness is the ability to rule over your own spirit. And man, we need that. Because I'm telling you, folks, as time gets closer and closer to the Lord's return, as the devil sees and knows that he hath but a short time, I want to serve notice on you. It's not going to get any easier. Right. We're going to need some gentleness as we face the days ahead. Gentleness is the ability to rule over your own spirit. Solomon said in Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit that taketh than he that taketh a city." And you know what the wise king is saying here? He is saying that when we are able to hear criticism of ourselves, when we are able to have our motives misunderstood, when we are misinterpreted by others, or when we are corrected by someone, if we can keep our cool and not get go off like a keg of dynamite, we're greater than any king in the world. What Solomon is saying is that when tribulation comes, hey, when that doctor gives you the bad report, hey, when that loved one leaves you, when that job comes to an end, when the money is gone, when adversity strikes, when one of the kids breaks your heart, when the tribulation comes upon you, brethren, face it by realizing that God knows what he's doing. And if you will trust in the God of heaven who has given you that adversity, and you're viewing it with a patient heart, a gentle heart that says, "God, I'm not real sure I understand what you're doing, but I know you're God and I'm going to let you be God." And you just get your nose in the book and you faithfully serve the Lord, you will find the Lord gives you grace to sustain you at your level of trust. Do we have this grace to be patient in the time of tribulation? Do we have the ability to be gentle when others are flailing away at us? I think this is something that we need to look inwardly at ourselves and see if it's there. Is it there? The point is, we can get that way in our Christian life if we'll live by biblical principles. Patience, gentleness. There's the third group related to this. You're already in Romans. Go back a few chapters to chapter 5. There's a third group related to tribulation. that I want to look at. Look at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. That's standing grace right there. I can stand in the presence of the Lord upon His grace. Standing grace. But look at verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. There it is, standing grace. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's that word rejoicing in the hope again. Man, we get to the place where we're bombarded on every side. And, you know, we've got the government out of control. We got the world out of control. We got Hollywood out of control. We got the devil out of control. Our kids are out of control. Everything's out of control. Wait a minute. This is not all there is. This world is not all there is. You got to promise He's coming again. Could be today. Hallelujah. Please come today. Read on. He said, and not only so, verse 3, we glory in tribulations also. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Go back to verse 3 and look at that. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. There's a third group related to tribulation. And that third group are those who glory in tribulation. You know, there are very few people that have this attribute. To be able to glory in tribulation. This is the ultimate. This is the peak. This is the Mount Everest of the Christian experience. The Christian who can rejoice and glory in tribulation is the Christian who is an enigma to the rest of the world. That Christian who can glory in tribulation is an enigma to the rest of the world. The world sits there and tries to figure out, how does this person tick? The devil can't even figure you out if you glory in tribulation. You say, well, how do you know that? Because he couldn't figure Job out. He couldn't figure Job out. That's how I know. You remember the devil went to God and said, give me a shot at Job. Give me a shot at him. You let me go at him. God said, all right, but you cannot take his life. So the devil came and took everything he had. Wiped him out. Took his family, took his home, took his children, took their spouses, took everything away from him. The devil's sitting back wringing his hands saying, I got you now. And all of a sudden, old Job, sitting out on the ash heap, throws his head up to God and said, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The devil's standing over going, what? Are you kidding me? Where's the Jobs today? Where's the Jobs today? You see, we get the slightest little bit of tribulation. Boy, that's it. We're done. Well, I can't go to church today. Well, I can't read my Bible today. Well, why? Well, I got tribulation in my life. That's when you need to be in church. That's when you need to read your Bible. Well, I can't pray. What? Well, I can't pray. Well, why not? Well, I got a broken heart. Well, la-ti-da. That's when you need to be praying. We need to glory in our tribulation, folks. We need to glory. Let me give you an example of how tribulation increases our value to God, and then I'll close. I'm out of time. I want you to imagine I've got a piece of steel up here, just a piece of steel. Just a hunk of steel. in its raw form might be worth $20. But if I put it in the fire and beat it and make a horseshoe out of it, it might be worth $40. But if I take that same piece of steel and I melt it down and I form it and mold it and shape it, put it in the fire, beat it with a hammer, you know, I can make a hunting knife out of it, and I might be able to sell it for $200. But then if I take that same piece of steel and I smelt it down, melt it, and then put it through a machine, and I make a box of tempered stainless steel surgical needles, I can turn around and sell that to a hospital for $5,000. But the raw material in itself is only worth about $20. It's got to be tempered. It's got to be thrashed. It's got to be molded. It's got to be prepared. I can't just take that piece of steel, lay it over here and say, man, I sure wish you were a box of stainless steel needles. I could sell you for $5,000 if you were. No, there's got to be a little sweat and a little toil and a little ingenuity and a little effort and a little preparation. And folks, apply that to the Christian life. A rough old sinner kneels and trusts Christ as his Savior. He gets up, transformed, a new creature in Christ. This is the grace that Paul was speaking of here in verse 1 and 2. Let's call it standing grace. But then look at verse 3. He says, and not only so. In other words, this means that what is about to be said is in addition to what has already been said. In other words, when we get saved, we get standing grace, justifying grace, but in addition to justifying grace is the ability to glory in tribulation. That's tribulation grace. The same grace that was there when you got saved is grace that will be there to help you through the tribulation so that you can stand up and say, glory to God in the midst of the tribulation. Man, it's hard to do. But it's grace that will be given when we need it. We rejoice, we glory, we are enabled by the grace of God to keep going even when we're facing tribulation in our own lives. Now, where does this come from? It comes from God's grace. Folks, there is no higher duty that can be done by a believer than to go through tribulation and then be able to turn right around and give God the glory in the midst of it. May God help us to realize the value of tribulation.